good to see you today. This is Greg Moore. I'm the director of Charis Bible College here in Woodland Park, Colorado. And it's just a great privilege to serve with Andrew Womack and the great content that's going out from Charis Bible College and Andrew Womack Ministries all over the world is just powerful. And you know, today we're going to be talking about a biblical worldview regarding sexuality. Specifically, I'm going to talk about the truth from the Word of God about adultery and divorce and remarriage. And a lot of people have been confused about these things. And my wife Janice and I have pastored for 27 years before we came to Charis Bible College. And there are a lot of things that we saw and learned and also received revelation from the Word. So I just speak to you today, God's great peace and love and a release of spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus to you on this. And maybe you're not struggling in your marriage right now. Maybe you haven't gone through divorce. I know some of you who are watching have, and or you know someone who is struggling in their marriage, and I believe this will help you tremendously. So I want to begin with a funny. I always like to start on a humorous note. So this is called God Loves Drunk People Too. A man and his wife were awakened at 3 a.m. by a loud pounding on the door. The man gets up and goes to the door where a drunken stranger is standing at his door in the pouring rain asking for a push. "Not a chance," says the husband. "It's 3 in the morning and it's pouring rain." He slams the door, returns to bed. "Who was that?" asks his wife. "Just some drunk guy asking for a push," answered the husband. "Did you help him?" asked the wife. "No, I did not help him. It's 3 a.m. in the morning and it's pouring rain out there." "Well, you sure have a short memory," his wife said. Can't you remember about 3 weeks ago when those two guys, when we broke down and those two guys on the side pulled over on the side of the road and helped us? I think you should help him. And you should be ashamed of yourself. God loves drunk people too, you know." The man gets up, gets dressed, and does as he's told. Goes out into the pouring rain, calls out in the dark, "Hello, hello, are you still there? "Yes," comes back the answer. "Do you still need a push?" calls the husband. "Yes, please," replied the answer from the dark. "Where are you?" asked the husband. "Over here on the swing," replied the drunk. So, this is a great analogy of what happens in relationships. We definitely want to serve our spouses even in the pouring rain. So, I want to talk to you today again about what the Bible has to say about adultery, divorce, and remarriage. You know, there are a lot of people's ideas about what adultery is, but actually adultery is one of the big 10, where the Bible says in Exodus 20:14, "You shall not commit adultery." First of all, it's a sin against God. It's failure to trust Him to meet your needs in this area of your life that God created. God created your sexuality, and He ordained that be fulfilled inside the boundaries of a healthy marriage relationship. But then, secondly, it's also a great sin on a horizontal plane because it hurts people. It hurts, first of all, your spouse, your children, your family, and relationships. And when the Bible talks about possessing your temple and not getting involved in adultery and fornication because it's a sin against your body. It's a sin against your physical body, but it also is one of those sins that hurts the spiritual body of Christ like none other. Certainly, if someone, and if you have who are watching, you've you've maybe made a mistake and you've failed in this area. Well, there's certainly forgiveness, always forgiveness for any mistake we make, any sin, even in this area where we've broken covenant with our spouse. But you can always, on a vertical plane, restore your fellowship with God. But you can't always, on a horizontal plane, restore your fellowship with men. Because people are going to follow leaders they can trust. And this is definitely an area of life where if we fall into this, it's going to cause people not to trust us and not be willing to follow us. And so, you know, I want to live my life in such a way that when I stand before the Lord, I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I don't want to hear, "Well." And, you know, I also want to live my life in such a way that a preacher doesn't have to lie at my funeral. Now, adultery gives place to the enemy big time. As Andrew says, it allows him, the enemy, to eat your lunch and pop the bag. If you read in Proverbs 6, it talks about a person yielding to the seductress or the adulteress. And it says it opens you up in verse 31 to the enemy to steal substance from you. It gives place to the enemy. Look, if someone falls in this area, God's not taking from you, but it opens a door to the enemy to steal substance from you. It also is the result and cause of a lack of understanding in verse 32 of Proverbs 6. And then it says it destroys your soul. It has a destructive impact on your soul. Because when you connect with someone else in a physical, intimate way, you're connecting with everything that's in that other person, and it opens you up to the enemy. It also results in wounds and dishonor and reproach and shame, verse 33. And, you know, adultery that is practiced in someone's life, it's going to limit their inheritance in the kingdom. Galatians chapter 5, Paul is talking about all the works of the flesh. And then he said, if you practice such things, you won't inherit the things of the kingdom. You know, we see the example of adultery between David and Bathsheba in 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. And their adulterous relationship resulted in the murder of Bathsheba's husband, Uriah, the death of their son, rebellion and dysfunction in David's family. Now, you know, the good news is there's forgiveness and redemption from this sin called adultery, as witnessed by the fact that King Solomon was born from the union between David and Bathsheba following their repentance. But the bottom line is this sin hurts others, not only you, and it limits the potential of you receiving from God, but it hurts other people. But, you know, I pastored for 27 years. And now I'm the director at Charis Bible College, and we love people, and I know people make mistakes, and it helps people, I've discovered, to help understand what really is behind this sin of adultery. So I want to share three things with you. I call it the anatomy of adultery. First of all, it starts with a lack of intimacy with God. In John 8, 31 and 32, he's telling us there that if we'll continue in his word, we'll be his disciples indeed, and we'll know the truth, and the truth will set us free. In John 15, 5, he's talking about, you know, if we abide in him, then we're going to bear fruit and unto God. And, you know, violating our covenant of marriage doesn't bear fruit, and it's certainly not discipleship, and it's certainly not freedom. So, first of all, developing your intimacy with the Lord, that's going to keep you free, and it's going to cause you to bear much fruit. You can't go out and commit adultery when you have intimacy with the Lord. If you're spending time with Him, He's going to show you how to minister to your mate. Typically, most problems in marriage are caused by selfishness. And if I'll go to the Lord when there's a challenge in my marriage, I'm going to go to God and say, God, you're going to have to help me minister to, because I don't fully understand how to, when I'm saying this, my wife is responding in a different way. And so help me, Lord, understand her, but more importantly, help me to love her unconditionally. And inside my relationship with God, He shows me how to love her. He shows me how to care for her. He shows me how to minister to her. And then that creates reciprocation on her part. But it all starts with intimacy with Him. When we begin to do what many Christians do, have a greater emphasis on working for the Lord rather than spending time with the Lord, then it opens the door for the enemy to get in and create problems and challenges and temptations. The second thing, in Mark chapter 10, the Pharisees came to Jesus and they were saying, can we use the law of Moses to write a divorce decree for our wives for any reason? And Jesus said, well, that was written because of the hardness of your hearts. And Jesus is really revealing there that selfishness and allowing distance in your relationship with your mate is going to open the door to adultery and other things. These Pharisees were asking Jesus permission, using the law, can I trade in my wife for a new model? And what Jesus was saying there was, He was saying, look, guys, even if you got a divorce decree and then you married someone else, in other words, you're looking toward someone else right now, you've already got adultery in your heart, and that divorce decree isn't going to remove the adultery in your heart. And then He goes on to say, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And so what He's saying there, in fact, that word, let no man put asunder, or let no man separate, that word literally in the Greek, it means allow no space between. And I'm an observant person. I watch couples when they're out to eat dinner, having a date, and many times they allow this to create space between. You need to turn this off. You don't need to be texting when you're spending time with your mate. Sometimes a husband will allow work to separate between he and his spouse. Sometimes the wife will allow children to separate between. But the Bible says, allow no space between. That's on you. That's on me. We have to make a decision that, you know what, I'm gonna steward my relationship with my spouse. And if I sense any distance, then for any reason, I'm gonna move in, because this is the anatomy of adultery is, first of all, we leave our intimacy with God. Second of all, we allow emotional space to separate us in our relationship with our spouse. The third thing is a wounded heart. Proverbs 7:26 talks about the seductress or the adulteress cast down many wounded. It didn't say, notice it did not say she wounded many. It said the wounded are those that are vulnerable to the enemy. So let me just share with you. If you haven't been stewarding your intimacy with the Lord, just ask yourself the question, would Jesus possibly be saying to you, I miss you? If you haven't been stewarding your relationship with your spouse, if the grass is looking greener on the other side, I tell people, you know, you need to water your own. If you've gone through betrayal, if you've gone through hurt, if you've gone through loss, if you've gone through disappointment, you know, your heart now is vulnerable for someone to come in and, you know, just flatter you and try to minister to you. And a lot of people, even men, get into pornography and other things like this. They don't realize pornography is not the real problem. That's the symptom. They're medicating their wounds with something that's unhealthy, and it's going to create problems in their relationship. And so God loves you, and He loves all people. He's not mad at you. He's not mad at, if you've been through the scourge of adultery or divorce, He's not mad at you. If you've experienced this, God can still use you. But I want to tell you, we don't have to go to this extreme. We don't have to mess up our lives and cause others to not be able to trust us anymore. I'm thinking about a major ministry right now that my wife and I used to support. And then he got into sin and got into adultery, and then he did it again. And, you know, he's still on television today in a measure, but he's just a fraction. He has a fraction of the influence that he once had. And, you know, I want to lead people to Jesus. I don't want to hurt people because of, you know, one night of pleasure when it can actually destroy your life. And so Jesus loves us. He wants us free. We don't have to walk in this, and we don't have to go there, but you need to understand, again, guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it flows the issues of life. Guard your intimacy with the Lord. Guard your heart towards your mate. Make it your heart. Make it your goal to outserve your mate. Make it your goal to love them and serve them without any expectation of anything in return. And when you make that your goal, divorce is not going to be a part of the equation. Most divorces are caused, as Jesus said, by hardness of heart, which really starts with selfishness. So I want to talk to you now, kind of segue and talk to you now a little bit about Jesus' instruction about divorce and remarriage. And so just reading in Mark chapter 10, if you have your Bibles there, you may want to turn there. But this is an interesting passage that people have misunderstood, and I know that because I pastored for a long time, and I had people come to me, and they didn't understand what Jesus was talking about here. But then it says, He arose and came to Judea by the other side of Jordan, and multitudes gathered. And the Pharisees came and asked Him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" And I think in another gospel it said, "for any reason." And they were testing Him. And He answered and said to them, "Well, what did Moses command you?" And He said, "He permitted a man to write a certificate of divorce and to dismiss her." And Jesus answered and said to them, "Because of the hardness of your heart, He wrote this precept. But from the beginning it wasn't so. God made them male and female. And for this reason a man would leave his father and mother and be joined or cleaved to his wife. And the two shall become one. And so they're no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate." And so here, Jesus has given an example of these Pharisees who are coming to Him asking Him for an excuse, basically to divorce their wives and marry another. In other words, they've got their eye on someone else. And they've found a loophole in the law, and they're trying to get Jesus to reinforce it. Is it okay if we divorce our wives for any reason? And then Jesus goes on to say in verse 11, so He said, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if a woman divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And these verses have caused so many people to be bound up. And I want to unpack that for you. First of all, I want you to understand, I'm still married to my first wife. And we've been married a lot of years, over 40 years. And man, we've got a great marriage. We still kiss. We still hold hands. We're still madly in love with one another. We're still, you know, great friends. Janice is my best friend. And so, but here you've got, you have Pharisees who are just looking at marriage like it's frivolous, and they're going to trade their wives in on a new model. And Jesus isn't having anything to do with that. And then that's why he says, look, if you divorce your wife and marry another, you're committing adultery. In other words, he's saying that the act of the divorce certificate is not going to remove the adultery in your heart. I don't believe at all Jesus is saying if someone gets divorced that if they ever remarry, they're committing adultery. First of all, in order to commit adultery, you have to be married. And so if you're divorced, now you're not married. And if you're involved intimately with someone after your divorce, that's fornication, that's not adultery. And so what he's trying to address is the sin in their hearts. Is there ever any reason, what are legitimate biblical reasons for divorce? Well, in Matthew chapter 5, verse 32, he's talking about, you know, it's for the only for in the case of immorality. In 1 Corinthians 7, he said, if you leave your spouse, let it only be for reconciliation. 1 Corinthians 7, and let me find that verse because I don't want to paraphrase it. I want to read that. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 10 and 11. It says, now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. So the Apostle Paul is saying there are some reasons that a husband and wife will need to separate. What would some of those be? Well, it could be, there could be one of the spouses molesting the children. It could be physical abuse. There are danger, violence. There could be major crimes committed by one of the spouses. So he is leaving space there to let us know that there are some cases, and I've dealt with this a lot as a pastor, where we've seen just terrible situations and heart-wrenching stories of families that are broken up, but then physical abuse, violence, one of the spouses molesting the children. Well, certainly you have to remove the family from that influence until that person has proven themselves. But again, the Apostle Paul is saying the same thing as Jesus did. If you have to leave, it should be for reconciliation, for the purpose of reconciliation, not for the purpose of divorce and remarriage. In other words, don't just say, I'm having a hard time in the marriage, and so you're looking for an out, or you're looking for an excuse. And so a lot of people have put folks into bondage, though, when it comes to this thing of divorce and remarriage. I remember a couple who came to me, a man who came to me, actually, and then his wife later, and told me about, he went to a certain denominational church. He had been divorced, I think, like 8 years, and then now he's remarried, and then he and his wife, his present wife, were having some difficulties. And so he said he went to his pastor for counsel, and his pastor told him that, you know, really, the reason they're having problems is because God didn't recognize this second marriage. And I thought for a minute, I said, that's crazy. I mean, what you mean, and it basically he was saying, you're living in adultery right now, and that's the reason you're having the problems. I had another couple, and this couple was in my church, and the wife was a godly woman. The man had several affairs, got involved with several women, and the wife came to us, and we tried to counsel both of them. She did everything she could to keep the marriage together. She followed our counsel. She forgave her husband. I mean, can you imagine the hurt and the wounds that she went through? And yet she was faithful. She kept believing that things would turn around. But then her husband left her and divorced her. And then he remarried. And now it's 4 years later. And we have a couple who has a marriage ministry that I allowed to teach in the church. And I believed most of the things that they taught, because I'm against divorce. I hate divorce. My parents were divorced when I was 8 years old. It really affected me, my identity, a lot of things. I walked through life for many years with a spirit of rejection on me because of that experience with my parents. My dad was a womanizer. And then my mom moved us to Houston, Texas from Davenport, Iowa. My dad was mad about that move, and so he didn't come see us. He didn't come visit us, and so never got birthday presents or Christmas presents, and it just caused a lot of problems with my family. My next brother under me, out of anger, he started fires. It's interesting, he ended up becoming a fireman. So I hate divorce. And I made a commitment to the Lord, if you'll help me, Father, by your grace, with my family, I'm going to steward my family and I'm going to love them, because I know God hates divorce. He hates the impact that it has on other people, but He doesn't hate divorced people. And so this couple had come in our church and began to teach about divorce and then remarriage, and basically, and then this woman who had been faithful and did everything she could to keep her marriage together, and now she was dating, after 4 years later, dating another man. She didn't have the gift of celibacy. I don't either, praise God. then this couple was teaching on marriage. They told her and the man that she was dating that if she got married again, she was committing adultery. I said, this is crazy. I met with the couple. They said, no, right here, Jesus said, if you divorce and then you get remarried, you're committing adultery. It says it right here in the Word. I said, you know what? Even with my commitment, my strong commitment for the covenant of marriage and the fact that I'm still married to my first wife, and that's going to be my only wife, and I'm committed to that. I still knew in my heart it was not right, and it was not the truth what that pastor told my friend and his wife, that God, the reason why they were having problems is because God didn't recognize their present marriage. I also knew it wasn't true what this couple that came into my church and was teaching about marriage, and they taught this precious lady, this precious woman, that it was not her fault. I'm not saying there wasn't a problem, any part of their marriage that she contributed to, in their problems, but she did everything she could. And I just knew innately, that's not God. That can't be what Jesus is saying there. So I went back and looked at that passage in Mark 10, and where Jesus said, if you divorce your wife and marry another, I begin to look at it from the, and also compare that to what Paul taught on this subject in 1 Corinthians 7. And I knew the Pharisees were asking Jesus approval of using a provision in the law to divorce their wives and trade them in for a new model. In other words, they already had secretly had plans. They had another younger model on the side, a girlfriend on the side, and they had plans to remarry while still being married. And that's what Jesus was addressing. He was pointing out the problem in their marriages was that they tolerated hardness of heart toward their mate, and now the grass is looking greener on the other side, but he put the responsibility right back on these guys for the condition of their marriage relationship. And he said, here's the problem. What God has joined together, let no man separate. It's your responsibility, Pharisee, to allow no space between you and your covenant partner. Then Jesus put the nail in the coffin to these Pharisees' diabolical plan. He said, look, divorce for the purpose of remarriage is sin and adultery. And receiving a legal divorce certificate does not put away neither the lust in your heart or the adultery in your heart toward this other woman that you have on the side. By using the word and here, he's saying whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. He's connecting the two actions of divorce and remarriage. He's saying to them, boys, if you've got plans to trade in your wife on a new model, your divorce certificate is not going to remedy the sin of hardness of heart you have in your heart towards your mate, nor the lust and adultery that you've tolerated in your heart. Jesus is not saying here that everyone who divorces and then later remarries is committing adultery. Neither is he saying that he never recognizes second marriages, as the counselor or that pastor that I shared with you told that couple. How do I know that? Because when you look at John chapter 4, verse 17 and 18, Jesus is talking to the woman at the well. And he said, now go get your husband. And because she's asking a lot of questions, he's going down to the root of the problem. He said, go get your husband. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. And I have no husband. And Jesus said, you've well said, I have no husband, because you've had five husbands. Count them, five husbands. And he makes a distinction now between a marriage and living together, common law. He said, the one that you now have is not your husband. Now, what does that tell us? Jesus, our Lord, Jesus, the one that we follow, Jesus, the one that we get our doctrine and our faith and practice in life, Jesus recognized five marriages in this woman's life. He also made a distinction between each of those marriages and the relationship that she had with the one she was living with. He said, look, marriage and living together is not synonymous. Notice he did not say that, look, you've been married once, your first husband, and then you've been living in adultery ever since with five other men. Now, he may not have endorsed five marriages. He may not have led her in and out of those five marriages, but he did recognize them. And he draws a clear distinction between the status of being married and the status of living together. The terms living together and being married are in no way synonymous in God's mind. And adultery, as I shared earlier, adultery by definition means having relations with another person outside of your marriage relationship. And so if you go through the scourge of divorce and now you're single, you're not married, if you did commit sexual sin, it's not adultery, it's fornication, unless that person is married. And so Jesus wasn't trying to restrict us, guys. I'm appealing to you. I understand you've heard these things and you read these things, but you haven't read them in the spirit and the context that Jesus is writing them in. And as I'm appealing to you also as a pastor who's seen the hurts and pain in people's lives and how somebody's misinterpretation of that scripture has bound people up and kept them from enjoying the relationship, intimate relationship that God has for them inside the bonds of marriage. Just because maybe you were at fault. Maybe you were the primary reason your marriage broke up. Maybe you were partly at fault. Typically, it's never 100%. But the bottom line is this. God's not angry with you. He hates divorce. He hates the impact that it has on others. But He's not angry with you. He's not binding you up. He's not putting you under the scourge of calling you an adulteress or anything, or an adulterer. That's not the heart of God. Nor is it the heart of God to tell you that if you did consider remarriage, that you're committing adultery even to consider that. That's not Jesus. That's not what He was saying here in His Word. He was just telling a group of Pharisees who were trying to use the law for their own benefit and to fulfill the lust in their heart. They had a younger model. They've spent 20 or 30 years with this faithful woman, and then now they see this younger model who, you know, has flattered them because now they're leaders in the Jewish synagogue or whatever, and who flatters them, and they think they're going to go and, you know what, I'm tired of my wife. I'm just going to write a divorce decree. Moses said, it's all right. Is that okay, Jesus, for us to do that? And Jesus said, no way. In fact, if you divorce your wife and marry another, it's not going to remove the adultery that's in your heart. You know what removes that? Is just simple confession. Lord, I was wrong. I missed it. I blew it. Please forgive me. Drawing on the grace that the cross provided 2,000 years ago, and then let God make you a new person. Now, just to validate this, the Apostle Paul taught on the same principles of marriage, divorce, and remarriage in 1 Corinthians 7. I've already read there for you that in verse 10 and 11, he says if two believers are married and they either separate or divorce for any reason, he said it should be for the purpose of reconciliation, not remarriage. Let me read it again. But even if she does depart, verse 11, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. What is he saying? Look, there's so many people that are fickle about marriage the divorce rate in the church is almost as high as it is in the world. And people take the message of mercy and grace and, well, then, you know, I can just do whatever I want. And basically people follow then the whims of their flesh or their feelings, nothing more than feelings. And, you know, your feelings will get you in trouble. Your feelings are going to tell you all kinds of things. I don't trust my feelings. I don't follow my feelings. I don't let my feelings lead me. And what he's saying there is, look, you're going to go through difficult times in a marriage relationship. There are some reasons why there should be separation. I rarely will tell anyone either to divorce or separate. But because of physical abuse or things like that, there are some cases. Sometimes even if there is immorality or adultery, so there are some cases. But Paul and Jesus are basically saying the same thing here. Forbidding divorce for convenience. That's what he's saying. That's what Jesus was saying. He's just saying divorcing and then remarrying for convenience is that is not covenant. It's not the kingdom. But you know, every case stands on its own merits. As I shared, it could be abandonment, abuse, adultery, child abuse, whatever. And when a spouse wants a divorce and no abuse is involved, many times, I'm just telling you guys, I'm just shooting straight with you here. Many times it's because there's somebody else on the side they've connected with emotionally. Adultery never starts physically. It always starts emotionally. And in order for there to be an emotional connection somewhere else, there has to be an emotional disconnection in your present marriage relationship. That goes back to the anatomy of divorce. Guard your intimacy with the Lord. Guard your intimacy with your mate. Allow no space between. And then the enemy can't get in. Then he goes on to say, in fact, I want to read in verses 12 through 16, but to the rest say I, if the brother has a wife and doesn't believe and she's willing to live with him, let him not divorce her. And if a woman who has a husband who does not believe, if he's willing to live with her, let her not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Otherwise your children would be unclean, but now they're holy. But if the unbeliever depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God has called us to peace. But how do you know whether you save your husband, or how do you know, husband, whether you save your wife? Notice verse 15, but if the unbeliever depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in these cases. Under bondage to what? To remain unmarried. That's what he's talking about there. He's saying, look, if you're married, then even if your mate is an unbeliever, then if they're pleased to dwell with you, then you stay where you are. If they leave, then of their own will, not because you force them out, but if they leave and they're not content to dwell with you, you're not under bondage. You're not under bondage to what? To remain single forever. You're not under bondage to not remarry. In other words, you're not in control of that. And that's exactly what Jesus was saying. He was saying, look, you know, if you do divorce your spouse and marry another, you're committing adultery because you've got someone else on the side. But he's not saying what some people have said is that, you know, if you ever remarry, you're committing adultery. That's I call it garbage. Okay, look at verses 17 through 26. As God has distributed to each one, as the Lord has called each one, so let him walk. And as I ordain in all the churches, was anyone called while he was circumcised? Let him not become uncircumcised. Was anyone called while he was uncircumcised? Let him not be circumcised. Well, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. The context here is marriage. He's just saying, look, your new birth, let's say you just got born again, and then your spouse didn't get born again. He said, your new birth, or your new revelation of the Word in this newfound walk with Christ, that doesn't change your marital status. This is true even if your spouse is still not saved. Or I've had couples come to me and tell me, well, you know, we weren't saved when we got married. And so now I got saved later. My spouse is still not saved, or maybe they are, but they're carnal. And now we didn't marry in the will of the Lord. Well, right now you're in the will of the Lord. And the will of the Lord, I'm just reading right here, is that you stay married. The will of the Lord is you abide in whatever state you are, whether it's Tennessee or Kentucky or Texas or Colorado. Amen. So he said, for he who is called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's free man, for you were bought at a price, verse 23, do not become slaves of men. Brethren, let each one remain with God in that state in which he was called. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment from the Lord, yet I give judgment as one whom the Lord in His mercy has made trustworthy. I suppose that this is good because of the present distress. It's good for a man to remain as he is. Are you bound to a wife? Wow, this is powerful. Are you bound to a wife? In other words, are you married? Don't seek to be loosed. Are you loose from a wife? Are you divorced or are you widowed? Don't seek a wife. But even if you do marry, you've not sinned. put that in your adultery pipe and smoke it. All of you Pharisees who have tried to put people in condemnation when they remarry. He said, if you're loose from a wife, you've not sinned if you remarry. And if a virgin marries, she's not sinned. So he's making a clear distinction here between people who have not been married and people who are married. The absolute will of God concerning your present marital status. Abide where you are. Stay put in your relationship. Let God make the difference. Allow Him in your intimacy with Him to show you your mate through His heart, to connect in a specific, emotional, tangible way to your mate. Serve your mate unselfishly. Stay put where you are. Don't jump out of a marriage covenant for some supposed spiritual reason or some leading of the Lord. I've had people tell me, well, they're married and they finally found their soulmate and it's someone different than their spouse. You've just been smoking bad weed. You've been reading bad stuff. You've been listening to the devil. If you're already divorced or widowed, if you're married, stay where you are. Don't go back and try to unscramble eggs, and don't even consider divorcing your present mate to attempt to reconcile with a past mate. But if you're already divorced or widowed, it's not a sin to remarry. In verse 27 and 28 of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, make a clear distinction of that. Those who've never married and those who have been previously married, to each group. And let me just ask you, where are you today? Are you in that group where you're struggling in your marriage? There's problems at home. Listen, stay put. Trust God. Go inside your relationship with the Lord. Work on reestablishing intimacy between you and your spouse. Read the Bible. Read these verses I'm talking to you about. Read a good book like The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman and think about ministering to your spouse out of what their needs are rather than your needs. To each group, though, Paul is saying, and Jesus is saying, look, if you do marry, you haven't sinned. Marriage for the virgin is not sin, neither is remarriage for the divorced or widowed person sin. The question to ask is, when did you begin to consider remarriage to the person that you're considering married? Was it before your divorce from your previous mate or after? If before, you need to identify that, repent of that, confess that you broke covenant with your previous marriage. And then, you know, always remember, guys, how you leave a place is exactly how you'll enter the next. And then finally, this is my commitment. I'm not going to perform a marriage ceremony between two people unless I know they're both born again, they're both in the Lord. In verse 39, it says, a wife is bound by the law as long as her husband lives, but if her husband dies, she's at liberty to be married to whom she wishes, only in the Lord. And so all remarriages, it needs to be someone that you're equally yoked with, someone that believes like you, somebody who loves Jesus more than you, someone who has a godly character in their lives, and someone that it helps if they have a job. it would help if they have a job, if they're faithful, and if you developed a relationship with them. Now, here's the other thing. I won't marry two people. I won't join them together in union if they haven't known each other at least 6 months. Because I care about them. You haven't even had a good argument yet in until you've been together 6 months. And you don't know everything about that person. So, you know, I want to just declare to you today, first of all, if you have gone through the scourge of either adultery or divorce. You've either been on the giving end of that, the sinning end of that, or the receiving end of that, being a victim of that. I want to pray for you right now. Then also, if you have gone through that and now your former spouse is remarried or you're remarried, I want to just release the spirit of shame off of you. And I want to let the Word of God just free you. So, Father, I just want to thank you for each person watching today. I just bless them with revelation. I bless them with peace. I bless them with hope. Father, I bless them with a revelation of your care for them, your love for them. Father, you're not mad at them. I release those who have been on the giving end of adultery and divorce. I release a revelation of your love and forgiveness, the power of the cross to forgive them, Father, and then free them from it, from the shame of that, from the pain of that. For the victims, those who have been on the victim end or the receiving end of adultery and divorce, I pray, Father, for healing, healing of their broken heart. I pray that you pour in the oil and the wine, Father, of the anointing of your Spirit to heal their hearts. Set them free from that pain. Set them free from that loss. I pray that you choose to value the cross, what Jesus did for you, greater than your loss, what people have done to you. And then I free you now in Jesus' name from the scourge and the shame of feeling like you have a label because you're a divorced person that you're committing adultery. I free you from that label, and I free you to hear from God and enjoy the covenant of marriage and to commit to this this new covenant that you're either in or you're considering with grace and freedom and truth and love. And I just thank you, Father, for opening the eyes and ears of your people to hear from you clearly and to take this, first of all, receiving forgiveness for the mistakes that have been made, but also a grace commitment, Father, to walk out covenant the way that you see it. And Father, we just thank you for that. I praise you for that in Jesus' name. God bless you guys. It's been great to be with you. Just encourage you. If you've got questions, you can you can write awmi.net or you can go on Andrew's helpline. It's been a privilege to spend this time with you. God bless you.
If you've enjoyed this session of Biblical Worldview Sexuality, you may be interested in attending Charis Bible College. High in the Rocky Mountains, Charis Bible College is home to a vibrant and diverse community of believers. At Charis, we're dedicated to providing students with a biblical foundation and equipping our graduates with the skills necessary to be successful in any field of ministry. Our Spirit-filled instructors are committed to helping you discover God's purpose for your life.
If you sit under the Word of God 4 hours a day, 5 days a week for 2 or 3 years, you're going to get stronger than horseradish.
Discover God's purpose for your life at Charis Bible College. Change your life. Change the world. Visit charisbiblecollege.org to find out if Charis is the right choice for you.